5 minutes after the first hour of the program. We are rocking and rolling here on a Friday. It's a mixed football Friday today because, you know, normally we're kind of getting set for CU, CSU, Broncos. Well, just Broncos, at least for now. We could hear something in the next 5 minutes. Who knows? Joining us now, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And Zach, my friend, I was thoroughly enjoying and entertained by your tweets yesterday with that Broncos press conference. Judging by the tweets, man, was it bizarre? Because a lot of these answers were just, they were just so obvious. They were so ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it really was an interesting day talking to Drew and then Pat. And there was a lot of entertainment coming from Pat Shurmur, essentially saying that Philip Lindsay needs to see the ball more, that the running game needs to see the ball more. And as many people pointed out, including yourself, he's the guy that gets to make that call on if the Broncos run the ball and if they don't. And I think everyone agrees with Pat Shurmur. Everyone agrees with what he said. More Philip Lindsay is a good thing. He's averaged almost 7 yards per carry the past 4 games. More running the ball is a good thing. But when push comes to shove, Brady, these last 2 weeks, the Broncos have dropped back over 50 times per game and have ran with their two running backs less than 20 times each game.
It's phenomenal to me. And again, I feel like you could copy and paste the press conference from last week talking about getting the ball, running the ball more, getting the ball to Philip Lindsay. I noted one of your tweets about Pat Shurmur saying, hey, when we run, we need to get more yards. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think we all agree with that. But on that same note, it's like, okay, but you gave the ball to Philip Lindsay 4 times. We all know, watching football, Zach, we see running backs can carry the ball a few times and have a bad carry, a negative carry, maybe 1 yard, and then suddenly they burst one. We always talk about it, getting a feel for the game a little bit more. So to me, I'm reading between the lines. Is he basically saying, well, the first 4 carries weren't great, so then we just stopped running with Philip Lindsay?
I mean, that's fair. That's a fair way to read it. And in the first three, or the Phil had 3 carries in the first half against the Raiders for -2 yards. They turn around and give him 1 carry in the second half last week, and he has 3 yards. So it was not the most productive day from Phil, but you're absolutely right. You got to give, and I know Philip Lindsay this entire season or offseason has been saying, all I need is a couple carries. Well, apparently he needs a little more than 4 carries. I don't think he meant it literally that. he's received over 10 carries once this year, which I know is something that I've already told you. But that is just hard to wrap your mind around, especially in these last 4 weeks when he's averaged 6.9 yards per carry. Even with that bad game last week, he's still been really good over the stretch. And he's someone that has to be featured in the offense more, which, Brady, this may be crazy to say, but that's why Brett Rypien very well may give the Broncos a better chance to win this game, not necessarily because of Drew Lock and Brett Rypien, but because Pat Shurmur may view this game as, holy cow, we're working with an undrafted second-year quarterback. We have to run the ball. We don't have a choice but to run the ball. And that will give the Broncos a better chance to win, I think, regardless of who their quarterback is if they actually commit to running the ball, because the Dolphins are a very, very bend but don't break defense. They give up a lot of yards on the ground. They've given up 130 yards, 99 yards, and 175 yards on the ground these past 3 weeks. So that has to be in the game plan. And just the past few weeks with Drew Lock, we've seen Pat Shurmur say, Drew, you're dropping back and throwing over 50 times per game. That will not work against the Dolphins.
No. There's just so many obvious issues, I suppose, when you look at the Broncos for the last couple of weeks. But, yes, let's talk about that quarterback situation. I think for many reasons it makes sense. You know, you have the out with saying the ribs are, even if he could go, maybe you just give him the mental, the physical break. Who knows what you want to call it. And I'm not saying, like, I'm all in on Brett Rypien. I want to see more from him. But Zach, let's paint this picture. Let's play this scenario out. If the Broncos decide, all right, we're going to give Drew Lock some time here. Let's go with Brett Rypien. Maybe they run the ball well. What if Rypien comes out and tears it up and has a really, really good game? What does that tell us about the quarterback situation?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of reading between the lines, and it may be very obvious for people. on what that means. And Brady, here's the thing, is there's a chance that Brett Rypien comes out and has a better game than Drew Lock, especially in this game, because the Dolphins love to bring pressure. And we've seen Drew just get hit time and time again. He's a guy that likes to hold on to the ball in order to make plays, and that can get him in a lot of trouble against the Dolphins. It really shouldn't have got him in a lot of trouble against the Raiders, because the Raiders weren't that type of team going into last week, but it did. And now going against a team that's good at bringing pressure and good at creating turnovers, they've created a turnover in every single game so far. That would be really bad. And Brett Rypien, on the other hand, is kind of the ideal matchup in terms of when you just look at what he's good at. He gets the ball out quick. That's what you need to do against this Dolphins team. And so if Brett Rypien does come in and does do well, well, then I think even more people are going to be jumping off the Drew Lock bandwagon.
Boy, wouldn't that make for some interesting chatter amongst us, right, Zach? If Rypien comes out, plays well. I mean, because Rypien was good in college. I was actually very shocked he didn't get drafted. I was stunned by that. And I get he was Mountain West, Boise State. But at the same time, I think there's something there. I don't know how consistent he'll be. But, you know, when we've seen small sample size, he's okay. Certainly not a guy that I would say right now would take the job. But I'm curious at this point because I loved watching him in college.
Yeah, well, in the first three quarters of the Jets game, he actually looked like a very competent NFL quarterback, not just that he had two touchdowns to one interception and was leading the Broncos to a win in those first three quarters, but also just the way he commanded the line. He looked like he had been doing this for a long time, looked like a 10-year vet out there, the way he was reading defenses and changing his protection. But in the fourth quarter, obviously, we just talked about it with Drew Lock, you can't have multiple turnovers in a game, let alone in one quarter. One of them goes for a pick six. That was really bad. So Brett Rypien gives the Broncos a chance to at least stay in games if he has a good running game and he does what he did in the first three quarters against the Jets. If he's anywhere close to the fourth quarter, well, it's going to be more of the same like we saw with Drew Lock throwing four picks last week.
We're talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, I'm on your Twitter account right now just looking through all of the injuries again, or the at least questions. I mean, Bryce Callahan sounds like he was sent home with a non-COVID-related illness, but probably going to be questionable at this stage. What about Noah Fant? And we already talked about Drew Lock a little bit. Elijah Wilkinson, is he going to be in the mix? I mean, there's still a lot of questions that just injuries just continue to ravage this football team.
Yeah, they really do. Just when things seem to be trending in the right direction, Drew Lock is now questionable. And Noah Fant, questionable, dealing with a rib injury. I expect him to play. He is trending in the right direction, so I would expect Noah Fant to play. He's just, man, he's been very banged up this year. And credit to him, he's put together a very solid second year. Now, has he broke out and become the tight end that everyone in the NFL is talking about? No. But am I concerned that he's never going to be that? No, I still think he has that. So credit to him. He's played through an ankle injury, now a rib injury. I do think he'll play. Jake Rogers, the guy everyone's talking about, he's also questionable on here. Like you said, Bryce Callahan, questionable. When the Broncos did not have him against the Falcons, we know how bad that turned out. And although you're not going up against Julio Jones this week, you don't want to let Tua go off, because Tua's a guy that's not going to lose a game, that's for sure, and he can take over a game as well. Elijah Wilkinson and Andrew Beck likely won't be taken off the IR before this game, but they both are trending in the right direction. So DeMar Dotson looks to be the starting right tackle for the Broncos, which is really good, but it does look like Calvin Anderson will be the backup if DeMar Dotson can't go for whatever reason.
Zach, tell us a little bit about this matchup between the Broncos and the Dolphins. Denver 3-6, they can, you know, I guess they could stay afloat if they find a way to win this game and the playoff talk is there. But Miami's been hot, you know. I think there was kind of an interesting decision when Miami decided to go ahead and start Tua over Fitzpatrick after the bye, but it's paid off. This team is a legitimate looking playoff team. Tua hasn't been overly impressive, but like you said, he's not going to lose you games. He's very careful. He's efficient with the ball, and he's kind of trusting the rest of his team as he grows this year in his rookie season.
Yeah, you're 100% right. This Dolphins team is so fascinating because when you look at them, they don't have a formula of how they win. They're not a pass-first team or a run-first team or a great team against the run. They don't have any of that. When you play against the Kansas City Chiefs, if you put 30 points on them, you're more likely to win. If you can't put 30 points on them, well, there's no chance of you winning. Playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers and Titans like the Broncos did, if they rushed for 100 yards on you, you were not going to win that game. Well, spoiler, all of those things happened when they played those three teams and the Broncos lost all three games. You can't point to a specific number against playing the Dolphins because they can win in so many ways. And that's what's actually really scary about them is that they don't have one thing that they rely on. That they've won a game when Tua threw for under 100 yards. They've won a game when they've given up over 500 yards of offense to their opposing team. But one thing the Dolphins do is really bad for the Broncos because the Dolphins are very good at turning the ball over. They've had a takeaway in every single game this season, and the Broncos are the worst at that in terms of protecting the ball in the NFL. So that does not stack up favorably. So for the Broncos to have a chance in this game, they have to limit their turnovers. It really can only give the ball away once if they want any shot of winning this game. And so you can't be Brett Rippon in the fourth quarter. You can't be Drew Lock last week. And the Broncos will have to run the ball to have a chance as well. Like I said, the Dolphins are giving up 4.7 yards per carry on the ground. That is something that any team, especially a team with two Pro Bowl running backs, should be able to utilize. And then what I would do against Tua is try to rattle him. He's a guy that does not get rattled very easily, but the Broncos have been successful in the blitz. So I'm bringing a lot of pressure on Tua and hoping that pans out.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Again, if the Broncos find a way to win this game, it doesn't cure everything because you're still 4-6. But maybe it's not. I mean, it's been a negative tornado surrounding this team. And that's why yesterday perhaps was so comical because some of the answers were just, okay, we all agree you should be running the ball, but you're not running the ball. Drew Lock, I think my favorite was, you know, the Dolphins are the Dolphins and the Broncos are the Broncos. I mean, reading into it, they just sound irritated at this stage.
Yeah, it really does. And it just reminds you that, oh, yep, there's still seven games left to this. We'll see where it goes. But Brady, I totally agree with you. If the Broncos somehow find a way to win this game, then it will ease a lot of big-time concerns. Like, are people going to be saying that, okay, they're fighting for the playoffs? No, probably still not, because you turn around, you play the Saints,
right,
and then you play the Chiefs. So for this season, probably doesn't change too much. But for the long term, yeah, because right now we're sitting in a position, Brady, where people are saying, are the Broncos going to win more than one game the rest of this way? If they beat the Dolphins, then people are probably saying, okay, they may finish with, you know, two or three more wins and just be a bad, mediocre team. But right now, if the Broncos don't win a single game or they only win one more game, we're talking about a 4-12, 3-13 team. That's a bad team.
That's when you get into those discussions of who's going to be here next year at the head coaching spot, the coordinator spot, player personnel. I mean, you have that kind of record, and suddenly we're talking about bigger stuff. So I guess we'll see what happens, man. You got a prediction for us, Zach?
Yeah, the line is only 3.5 for the Dolphins, and I say only 3.5. I'm shocked it's not more. I think it's going to be a two-score game. I'm going Dolphins 30, Broncos 16. And, man, I wish I wasn't saying that, but I don't think it's going to be very close.
I think I was reading somewhere, Zach, maybe it was from you. I don't know. I saw it somewhere. First time the Dolphins have been favored in Denver since 1985. They haven't been there a lot, but it's an astonishing stat to me.
It really is, especially when Tua, a rookie quarterback, is going to only be making his fourth start in the NFL. It's crazy. I mean, before the season, if you were to tell someone that all of this was happening, they'd say, oh, no, what has happened?
Yeah, no doubt about it, my friend Zach. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed how you retweeted the press conference yesterday. You captured on the most hilarious bullet points from that, and I love it. It was great work by you. I was thoroughly entertained. What are you working on for us that we can check out at DNVR Broncos?
Oh, just stay in tune to if Drew Lock starts. My guess is that he is going to start. He's trending in that direction, but that's what we'll be following up until game time, if Drew Lock or Brett Rippon is under center for the Broncos.
All right, my friend. Should be interesting news as always. Appreciate you jumping on with us, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Brady. Really enjoy it.
All right, man. That's Zach Stevens. Great, great guy there. Excellent. And in all fairness, like, he's a great – Zach's a great reporter. But the tweets yesterday were real. They were from Pat Shurmur. They were from Drew Lock. They were asked about the Dolphins' defense, Drew Lock was, and Drew Lock's response was, well, you know, Miami's the Miami, and the Broncos are the Broncos. I mean, at least Jay Cutler started the press conference, and you could already tell he's like, I would rather not be here right now. You already knew. But Drew Lock kind of gets you into it. We all loved him at first and doing the Buzz Lightyear stuff, and now suddenly he's, he's not the nicest guy in the world. It doesn't sound like. Pat Shurmur saying, well, when we run, we need more yards. Well, yeah. I mean, that's definitely. But to me, it's like, are you saying that because Philip Lindsay, when he carried it three times and didn't get anything, that you shut him off for the rest of the game? You saw this guy in a game that you beat the Chargers in with one carry change the entire game. He ran a 55-yard touchdown. So you're going to let a bad three carries decide the rest of the game for Philip Lindsay? I know he doesn't block that well. I know he doesn't catch that well. But his runs are game changers compared to Melvin Gordon and a lot of guys in the NFL, to be quite frank. All right, 21 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break here. We have a jam-packed show. We're going to talk to CSU head men's basketball coach Nico Medved. They locked him up. And in a year that's been negative, and perhaps negative around Colorado State, this was an absolutely huge victory for Colorado State, for Fort Collins, for Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
By Chris Musa Agency, Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hull. Check out The Hull Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
27 minutes after the hour, Colfax, we have a cool thing happening. Red Wing Shoes, they got a location in Greeley. They have a location in Johnstown as well, near Shields. For my listeners, okay, Hooligans, it's all you got to do. There's no purchase necessary. Walk into Red Wing. Now more than ever. I mean, again, Red Wing, yes, there's a corporate, but these are local businesses owned by a local guy in Greeley who also supports other local businesses in the area. Stop by. All you got to do is walk up, sign up. There's a little sled there, a KFKA Christmas sled, if you will. Sign up, put your name in there, and you got a chance to win a free pair of boots from Red Wing. $250 minimum value there. So, I mean, that's a hell of a value. And these boots, I have mine. Colfax, you have a pair. I mean, they're good. They're ridiculous.
I wear them every day. I actually have the shoes. I have the Weekender shoe.
You do. You get the Weekender shoe.
Yeah. More relaxed kind of style.
I kind of went more of the boots look.
Yep.
And I love those. They are, they're comfortable. They work with any setting, whether, you know, you're in kind of a business setting or you're outdoors working. I mean, you got the best of both worlds there.
And it's the highest quality shoe you can buy. I mean, these will probably last a lifetime.
Probably will.
I have no doubt.
And they will. And you can go take it in and get them cleaned up, touched up, everything you need to do there.
Exactly.
If you need to. So, Hooligans, you know, Christmas come early. Local odds. So stop by. We're giving away two pairs. So one, the Greeley store is giving away a pair, and the Johnstown store is giving away a pair. So an excellent opportunity to go big this year. 28 minutes after the hour, Colfax, we're going to take a short break here because we're going to talk to Colorado State Rams head coach Nico Medved. He signed his contract extension that'll go through 2025, 2026. $750,000 will be his salary. And there's a lot of cool incentives here that I love to look at. I love incentives and kind of breaking through what those look like. But excited to get Coach Nico Medved on the program. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, Nugget fans. This is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour, Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from our Auto Collision Specialist studios. And great news yesterday as CSU head men's basketball coach Nico Medved signed a contract extension with the Colorado State Rams that will go through the end of the 2025-26 season. Joining us on the First Advantage Hotline, head coach Nico Medved. Coach, thanks so much for giving us some time today. On short notice, man, we really appreciate you.
Oh, Brady, appreciate you you having me on, and it's getting exciting as we're inching closer to a start date for basketball, and I know everybody's just fighting hard to get to the starting gate here.
Yeah, we're all kind of waiting to see. We want to see you guys actually on the floor. That's when we start getting real excited, right? Coach, first off, congratulations, by the way. I tweeted out earlier, you know, in a tough year, 2020 has been a very difficult year. But, Coach, and I'm not sucking up to you, Northern Colorado, Fort Collins, the basketball community, the community in general, this was a big win, and not just for Colorado State, to be real honest with you. Everybody's a big fan of yours, and I know folks are very happy to see you locked up with the Rams for the foreseeable future.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I don't know. I probably have some people who aren't fans, right?
I don't know, man. I haven't met them before. I haven't met them.
No. We're really excited, and, you know, like I said, I mean, whenever something like that happens, really what it is a direct reflection of the people that you work with every day. And I'm so blessed. We've got an amazing staff, you know, that we've been together here for a while, and they are just absolutely phenomenal and make my life easy. And I'm so blessed to have, you know, great players and great young men who just work their butt off and are great to be around. And when you're able to do that, you know, again, it makes your job easy. And that's a reflection on everybody in our organization. And we're really, really excited about this. And, you know, this year is going to be a crazy year, but we're really excited about it to have a chance to play. And we're really excited about the future. So we really want to build something here.
Coach, you hear other, you know, you'll hear coaches say, hey, they really love the area. They love where they are. But with you, I mean, you're so passionate. You already have that history with Colorado State, but you can see it. You can feel it. You know, I'm watching some of the videos the Colorado State Rams basketball team has been sharing on Twitter. You can feel that coming from you. What is it about not just Fort Collins, but Colorado State that you love so much?
Well, you know, if you start just from a living perspective, it's such a phenomenal community to live in, place to be. The vibe here is just awesome. The university is just a first-class place to work. You get to work with first-class people. And I think for me, the personal experience of I love this conference. I've seen this program at its best. Like, there's just so much potential here and great history. And so I really believe that we have, you know, the things in place to really build a great program. And so when you factor all those things together, it just becomes a no-brainer.
I'm just thoroughly impressed with, again, what you've done, what you did in that first year, what your group has done in that first year compared to the second. I mean, I think we all expected to see an improvement, but you and I have talked about it at great length. It was quite the jump. So to me, it makes perfect sense for you and Colorado State to look at this and say, hey, let's keep building this thing. Let's keep growing it. And I look at it personally. I look at it, okay, you're growing Colorado State, this basketball program, but basketball in the state of Colorado, I mean, it's been picking up. There's some great teams. And so I kind of look at you and I look at Colorado State to kind of be leaders of that within the state for years to come.
Well, I think we got a lot of terrific coaches, you know, in the area, and guys who are heavily invested. So I do. I think it's a great time to be here. Like you said, I'm a real fan of what we're doing, and you know, I think I mentioned, you know, to, you know, sometimes, you know, things that are built to last don't happen fast, and I think that we're really building, but we know we've got a long ways to go to really get ultimately where we have that consistent program that can compete at the top of the Mountain West. And but sometimes, you know, those things take time to do them the right way. And but I feel like we're doing that. We've got the right people. I think we've got a great group of young men and staff and a young team that's just going to continue to get better and better.
Yeah, you said it, a young team, and given the situation we're in, where players are not going to lose a year, that to you, I mean, my goodness, such a young group, but it's kind of like you just set the reset button at the end of the season. I mean, you're going to have this collective group for quite a while.
That's the plan, you know, and I think it's just taking it one day at a time, and doing everything we can to do the best we can this year. I know the guys are just chomping at the bit to finally have an opportunity to play, but that's the way we look at it, is put everything we have into this year, but we're also looking at the future, which I think is really bright.
Do you pay much attention? I mean, I know you've looked at it probably. Do you pay much attention to the preseason polls and all that, looking at what the Mountain West came out with a couple of weeks ago?
I mean, you see it. I think we had media day, and I walked in, and I think John Martin told me like 5 minutes before I went on, oh, we were picked whatever, fifth, and I don't really pay that much attention. I don't think those things should motivate you really either way. I think that, you know, you got to have your internal motivation to become your best. And so I think it speaks to a couple of things. I mean, obviously I think we have respect from people throughout the league, but I think we do have a ways to go to be seen as an upper echelon team. And I think it also just speaks to the depth of the Mountain West. I mean, I've said that before. I really think the conference as a whole is really on an upward trajectory here. And I think this league in general is going to become more and more competitive here as the years go on.
We're talking to CSU head coach Nico Medved. You're right. I was looking at the records last year in the conference, just kind of going over your schedule, which is a monster schedule to start out with, and I'll go through that with you in a moment. But I'm looking at the records of Mountain West teams outside of the conference. You know, a lot of teams close to that 20. You guys were at 20 wins. Of course, San Diego State was ridiculous. I saw, you know, UNLV had close to 20 wins. Then you get into conference play, and you guys just kind of knock each other around. It feels like great outside the conference, but very even throughout the kind of the middle part of that conference. So it does. You're right. It does show you how strong this conference is.
Yeah, I think it got better as the conference season went on. I think you saw a team like UNLV really start to play their best at the end, and I think they're going to continue to get better and better. You know, Nevada is going to be, you know, they lost a lot, but you watch, they're going to continue to be good. San Diego State's going to be, Utah State, Boise State. We're clearly on an upward trajectory. I think you're going to see Wyoming improve. I mean, I could go on and on, but I think it's going to be, continue to get better. And I think that's great for all of us. It's great for the league. It's great for the fans. The more competitive it is, I think it's better for everyone.
Looking at that schedule, and let me ask you this first. Do you like the setup in the conference where you're going to be, you're basically playing two games in 3 nights against that same opponent? So, for example, San Diego State, December 3rd on a Thursday, and then the following Saturday. What do you think of that? And I get it. We're in those times where we're adjusting. I actually kind of think it's interesting. It should be fun. What's your view on it?
I think your quote, I think the word you use, interesting, is the way I look at it. And, but I mean that in a positive way. I think this was a good move by the league to go this direction. I think that this has, you know, we're going to have cancellations and issues. I mean, that's just going to happen this year. But I think this format gives us a much better opportunity to play as many conference games as possible. And I think the unique format, like you said, it could be interesting, and it's going to provide a whole different dynamic. I think it's going to be very competitive. I mean, playing that same team, like you said, twice in 3 days. I think it'll help me grow as a coach, too. It's just kind of a different thing that any of us have ever done. And so I'm kind of looking forward to a new challenge, and I hope our players are, too. And I think that's the way you have to look at it. And, I mean, there's going to be inequities in the schedule. It's not going to be fair. I could sit here and get on my soapbox and complain about, oh, this isn't, you know, fair with this. But if you get caught up in that this year, you're just going to drive yourself crazy. That's not what the most important thing is. The most important thing is to play as many games as we can in a safe manner. That's what these young men deserve. That's what we need to try to do as leaders. And like I said, if they told me we had to play all 10 series on the road, I'd do it just to play. You know, we want to play, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I love your attitude about it, too. But you're looking at that first few stretch, really, from December even into early January. You mentioned UNLV is only going to get better. They're in that first stretch. San Diego State twice in a row. Then at Boulder, CU, we know they're expected to have a good season. Fresno State's in that mix. And UNLV. So right off the bat, you're going to know a lot about your basketball team within the conference, but also that CU game thrown in the middle, too.
Yeah, and, you know, and I don't know if we haven't released it because there's so many moving parts, but, you know, we open up against Cal on a neutral next Wednesday. Then we're at Oregon State. Then you said then San Diego State twice, then CU. We'll play Northern Colorado here. And then we have a series. We got to go to St. Mary's So yeah, it is not, it's not for the faint of heart, Brady, what we have here, but I think that's great. I think that's how our guys get better. We're going to play great competition and, hey, let's go. I mean, our guys, like I said, I think are ready to try to go out and compete against anybody. And, you know, we'll learn through the good and the bad and keep getting better. And like basketball seasons always are, it's going to be about, you know, gearing up to for do the best we can in the league. And I think we can compete and gearing up for the Mountain West tournament. And this year, I probably more than any other, we got to kind of start with the end in mind. And we know we need to play an NCAA tournament. We want to play a conference tournament and we want to have the best chance to have the most competitive Mountain West schedule. And if we're able to do those things, it's going to be a success.
CSU head coach Nico Medved joining us. I love what you said, too, about some of those games that you just mentioned, the Cal Berkeley game, the Oregon State. They haven't been released yet. Is that not crazy? I mean, you got next week, right? And fans are looking. They're getting on the schedule. And I know you're obviously, you're right there in the thick of things, creating these schedules, going back and forth. But Is that an uneasy feeling knowing, hey, we're like less than a week away. We're still trying to finalize a few things.
It's bizarre. And I think you're going to see a situation this year, Brady, where people will be scheduling games in the middle of the season. I mean, I think that's kind of what we're looking at this year. And so, yeah, I mean, that's on the schedule. We've got our travel plans ready to go. But as everybody knows that's following this stuff, it can change in a moment's notice, right? You know, all of us and around the country is getting tested multiple times a week for COVID. And, you know, with all those issues going on, I mean, it can, you know, everything's great. And one day you can wake up and all your circumstances change. And that's just what we have to deal with and, just got to keep moving forward. And, it's tough. There's no question about it, but, I feel comfortable. I mean, we're going to play some games this year, and that's what we need to do. And just got to stay positive. But you can count on it. Throughout this season, there's going to be cancellations, rescheduling, scheduling of different opponents. It's going to be crazy. Might be entertaining.
Yeah, you know, as a radio guy here, Coach, I tell you, sometimes just talking about when the games are going to happen, if they're going to happen, it's a heck of a lead up for when the actual game does take place. I mean, it certainly gives us something to talk about.
It does, and it's going to be a different kind of year, but that's okay. I just think we need to play, and the players want to play, and I probably speak for everybody else around the country. They feel the same way, and it's going to be a challenge. Everybody is going to have different ways that they practice, you know, different guys out. They're going to miss time. And it's going to have an effect on what we do. But again, I just think we've got to not focus all our attention on those things. We got to focus in our attention on just having the opportunity to go out there and play and compete and, you know, cut out the outside noise and just make the most of it and continue to get better and, you know, do what we love every day.
Coach, for you, your team, you have an amazing group of young men. Of course, Isaiah Stevens kind of highlighting that, getting some preseason accolades. What are your expectations like? You kind of mentioned it early. All right, we're going to play basketball and see what happens. Are you looking at this like any season? We're going to go in there. We're going to compete in the Mountain West, and we're going to see if we can win this thing.
Well, hey, I mean, let's be clear. I mean, you go out there, and every time you step on the practice court, you're trying to get better. Every time we go out there to play a game, we're trying to win the game. Yeah, I mean, we're here to compete. We want to be our best. That is 100% the goal. So yeah, I think that's the thing. I think what I'm saying is you're going to have to adjust this year. It isn't going to be an equal season. You're going to have, you know, things happen. And when they do, you deal with it and you move forward, and then you get the next opportunity to get out there, you go and you give it your best shot. So absolutely. I mean, when we go out, we're going to, you know, plan this to practice today and practice tomorrow and we get ready. And when we go out there Wednesday against Cal Berkeley, we're going out there trying to put our best product on the floor and give ourselves a chance to win and do the same thing the next night. And that's obviously what this is about, and continue to grow and get better. And so you do everything with what you can control to be your best.
We're looking forward to it. Again, as you said, next Wednesday, Cal Berkeley, start that season off the right way. Coach, congratulations again. I'm thrilled. I'm glad personally for me we get to do this a lot more now that you're signed up, ready to go through 26. So we'll be able to have plenty of these conversations. I'm excited to see this program continue this this growing trajectory.
Brady, I appreciate it, and appreciate the way you cover sports here in Northern Colorado.
Hey, Coach, it's my pleasure, man, when we have great coaches to highlight. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck next Wednesday, okay?
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, that's CSU coach Nico Medved. Signed a big deal, Colfax, $750,000 through the duration of the new deal. So, yeah, we'll check this out. Okay, so that's $750,000, Colfax. Check out these incentives. I like reading the incentives because, you know, that gives you something to shoot for. So he's got a $50,000. He'll get $50,000 for winning a Mountain West title, regular season or tournament. This one's kind of interesting, though, because you can win the regular season and lose the tournament, or you can win them both, right? If CSU wins both regular season and the tournament, the bonus is capped at $50,000. So he doesn't get any more if he wins both of them. $25,000 for finishing second or third in the Mountain West regular season standings. I think he's going to get that bonus. I think he's going to get that 25K. So me predicting that, if he wants to throw a couple of bones my way, that's okay. We'll talk about it later. $75,000 for qualifying for the NCAA tournament. You win the Mountain West title, you get $50,000, right? So then automatically you get another $75,000, isn't that right? Because you're qualifying for the NCAA tournament. $30,000 for qualifying for the NIT, $75,000 each for advancing to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, $125,000 for advancing to the Final Four, $200,000 for winning the whole thing. Dude, I feel like that should be like way up there, man. If you're CSU, sure, throw it up there. What are the chances? You never know, man. It's going to be a nutty schedule. And isn't that crazy? So, yeah, they play Cal Berkeley next Wednesday. They play Oregon State, I think, next week, too. That's not on the schedule. You're not going to see it on CSU's. It's on Cal Berkeley's schedule. I see it there. But they're still finalizing everything, so they just don't have it written in stone just yet. Isn't that crazy to hear a head coach, and it's not a knock, but just say, hey, it's not out there yet because it's not on the schedule, but it is official. They are going to play. But it's just a strange, strange situation. And then we're going to bring Brian Howell on in a moment of Buff Zone. And you're hearing things about Oregon and UCLA might go, is that, here we are Friday afternoon, do the Buffs still have a shot of playing this weekend? 51 minutes after the hour, a lot of Broncos talk coming up. Cody Rourke will join me as well. So we'll get to that from Pro Football Network. A lot to get to, only about an hour to do so. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for The Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
We got another hour coming up. This is time of day, though, Colfax, where it feels like we need like 4 hours. So according to several reports now, and these are legitimate reports, and you guys think I'm crazy, whatever, John Paul Morosi of MLB.com, several other reports talking about the reality of Nolan Arenado getting shipped to the Dodgers. Yes, it's a real thing, folks. There could be a trade working on. Who knows? Not now, obviously, but this is something that could happen. I feel like it's going to happen. I mean, if you're the Rockies, this relationship, for whatever reason, Bridges didn't make it right. You're the boss. You got to make this right. He's your star. I'm not saying you got a baby superstars, but he clearly feels like he was kind of had the old bait and switch pulled on him, Colfax. Hey, yeah, you signed. We're gonna make this place a championship team. We're gonna go out. We're gonna get aggressive. Not the case. So we got to get to that. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day: should the Broncos just bench Drew Lock this weekend, regardless of whether he can go, and just say give it to Brett Rippon, see what happens? Give Drew Lock the mental physical break. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question. Brian Howell of Buff Zone coming up next. What's the latest for the Colorado Buffaloes football side of things? Second hour coming up next.